Well, we're glad you're here, and I want to continue talking about transformation in a sense. I've been stuck on this for probably many years, but it's like you start going further and further, and you just get deeper and deeper, and pretty soon you just see things, and then it's important to try to, how would you word it? It's like you're blessed. You're given a message to carry in the gospel. Let's start in 2 Corinthians. We're going to talk today about the difference between your new nature and your inner man. How many remember when Pastor Dave taught about the inner man for a long time, about the rich man and the poor man Lazarus that died, and they both were in parts of hell? One was in Hades, and the other was in Abraham's bosom. And remember the teaching on that, and how they had bodies, they recognized each other. They both had feelings and emotions. And Pastor Dave went on to talk about, what was the man's name with no eye? There's a man, Ronald something. Cohen. He's an old preacher that he's passed now, but he had lost an eyeball and had a plastic eyeball. And God opened up his spiritual eye to where he could see out of it. And he would do, like, in front of crowds, pull out his plastic eye and cover up his natural eye and could see and read and see you. And Pastor Dave was talking about the greatest miracle would be someone with no leg and the natural being able to walk on their spiritual leg. So I want to talk a little bit about the difference between your new nature and your inner man. Because sometimes in terminology, the word spirit can mean new nature. Sometimes the word spirit in English means the Holy Spirit. And sometimes the word spirit can mean a demonic spirit. And sometimes the word spirit can mean your inner man. So the only way you're going to tell the difference is through, in context, what is he talking about? If I ordered pizza and said, look, I have $300 tip for you if you get to my house in 20 minutes. Okay, where'd you live? I live in a house. Okay, I need a little more specific. Give me an area. I'll give you a neighborhood. Okay, and now there's about 200 houses there. Which one is it? Well, it's the White House. Okay, so now you're down to 40 White Houses. Can you be more specific? And see, that's sometimes in Scripture, the only way you're going to know which house he's talking about is to find in context specifically the wording around it so you know which one it is. Otherwise, you'll be delivering pizza to the wrong house. And you'll be putting attributes to this nature that are supposed to be for your inner man and attributes to your inner man that are for the nature. This is where some people get confused when they read part about the new nature that is complete. How many know the image of Christ in you is already complete? Already right now, you have an image of Christ in you. Well, what I was taught early on was you are complete in Christ, so go walk it out. Go walk in the fullness. Go pray for the sick. Go prophesy. Go do it. So we all walked out in our best ability, and after a while, we fell flat on our face. And that's why you're here, most likely, because you tried that message and fell flat on your face and wondered, well, what's wrong with me? It worked for all those other people. I must be dysfunctional or the bad child of the family. Why does it not work for me? I did everything I was supposed to. I prayed for him. I laid my hands over him. I said in Jesus' name, I pleaded the blood. I remember early on before I, around Brother Norville, we learned how to cast out devils. You just don't play with them, you cast them out. But before that, I went to a church that any demonic activity was like we'd all gather around in a circle and we tried, someone would fall out in service and start acting demonic and we would sing the blood of Jesus. Oh, the devils hate the blood. We tried singing all about the blood of Jesus. We tried, what's your name? How'd you get in there? And we tried all kinds of things that we had tried to figure out. We didn't know, but we tried our best. Brother Nova said, you don't talk to devils, you just cast them out. Don't play with them. Well, we all started somewhere, but where I started was, you're complete in Him, so now just walk it out. You already are full. You know, what happens is preachers confuse the new nature with the inner man. Because when you do that, you can think, I'm full in Him, I'm going to go ahead and walk it out. And all of us tried that until it didn't work. And that's where God sent me to be in a Pastor Dave Roberson service. You know, if you ever want to be God to use you, just get enough truth in you and He'll get the world to come find you. God had me find the truth because I was hungry for the truth. And when I heard the message, and it wasn't much, just I heard, if you pray in tongues a lot, it will change you. And you all heard that same tricky message because you didn't know what that door, opening that door would do for your life. It was a doorway to feed your inner man so it grow up and strengthen. And then that's when you started to cause trouble. So I tried everything else up to that point. I tried discipline. I tried the anointing. You know, being a service, please pray for me. I'm tired of this in my life. Get it out of me. I don't want this anymore. The little girl came up to the prayer line, the young teenage girl, and I'm in love with the wrong guy. Everything about him is wrong. So I'm here to pray that God will take the love out of me so I won't love him anymore. Well, that's a problem because you can't cast out flesh. Flesh must be mortified. Pastor, I pray that God would fix my problem, fix my wrong desire, and He didn't, so I guess it's okay. Go listen to Gary's message this morning. That'll cure you of a lot of that. That's the cure. So I want us to identify these parts, the inner man and the new nature. So then you know what you did get when you were saved and what you didn't get. I got rescued by the message of prayer because it gave me a pathway to have more God beyond just trying. I tried to walk in the fullness of God. If you listen, there's more, you know, there's more $100 bills in circulation than dollar bills. That's a true story. Preacher told me that. So you should carry around a $100 bill in your pocket just to remind you that you're blessed. Not a bad principle. But when I tried the other things, like, you know, sow into my ministry and you'll get a new car or a hundredfold return. One preacher was, I'm not like those hundredfold boring preachers. I'm a thousandfold preacher. And then the teaching, a hundredfold isn't 100 times. It's one folded over is two. That's one fold. Folded over is four. That's twofold. And then you start calculating. I love that Gary kept a ledger of how much he gave. And then I think he's still waiting for the return. So in the attempt to walk in prosperity, I had wealthy man teaching me how to walk in prosperity as a young poor kid. And I won't say poor in bad faith, but just I didn't have the job or the ability to make that kind of money. It's like a 7 foot tall guy telling you, you can play basketball like me if you just practice like I do. That's all. Just practice like I do and God will bless you like the way He does me. I am 7 foot, but you know, you're 5 foot something. So I'll just do what I do and God will bless you the same. It's like Laura getting up and singing and saying, just if you want to be blessed like me and lead worship, just sing to the Lord. Just worship God like I do every day. That's why God put me here, because I worship God every day. And you're like, yeah, but God's never called me to lead worship. See, I can't trade those positions. But there is something that's equal for every believer. And that is the new nature. Your new nature will tell you exactly what my new nature is telling me. Your new nature will not tell you anything differently. That's one way you know instructions. If instructions are different, they're from the Holy Spirit. If they're the same, they're from the new nature. We have a conscience in the new nature, right? Our new nature, the moment we're saved, begins to convict you. And it doesn't, it's not like picks out all the bad things. That's bad, that's bad, that's bad, that's bad. That, it's kind of the opposite. The new nature tells you who you are, and that exposes the things that are no longer you. But I remember one time I was working nursery, and we had all these kids in the nursery. We had a bunch of noise outside, so I ran outside, and there was all these birds flying around. And right in front of all the nursery kids, this bird flew up in the air outside in front of the window, and all the kids looked and were looking at it, and this cat just out of nowhere jumped and grabbed it and like murdered that bird in front of those little kids. Well, to you, that may seem odd, but to a cat, that's its nature. It's, you put a bird in front of a cat, it's going to murder it, especially if it's hungry. I love people like, well, nature's so kind. Well, you have no idea. You're a city folk for sure if you believe that. Well, see, now you have a nature in you. That's the nature of Christ. That came by faith when you were saved. He took the old nature. And I do like to say it just so people understand it better, that God replaced your old nature with a new nature. But it was so much more than that. It was quickened. That means that he took what was there and quickened it from dark to light, from death to life. You actually were born from death into life when you were born again. So you have a new nature now. And if you just follow that nature, you'll begin to confront other opinions, other desires that you fight with. Well, where are those other desires coming from? Well, that's the point of you have an outward man that was not resurrected, was not brought to life. Your outward body still has desires. And how many know if you're 10 years old and you're not born again, you have likes and desires, right? When you're 20-year-old, you have likes and desires, and you're not born again. So how many of those likes and desires came from God? Did God design you? He designed the human race, but he designed it before the fall. So did God design you the way you are, the way you were born? Or is that the product of Adam? So you are now a child of darkness when you're born. When you're born, you have a nature of darkness. You're a child of darkness. You're actually born dead. Dead's not a... I like death better. You're born death. You're born in death. You're existing, you're breathing, but you're really dead. And when you're born again, you're resurrected into life from death. From darkness, he brought birth light. So now you are a new creature in him. So everything up to that point is from the old world, from the world of Adam. After that, you're now a new creature. You're saying, well, Alan, you're just preaching the born-again trail. Well, that's all right. I don't know what you're talking about. God showed me all this stuff. I remember I'd preach something, I'd get something and think, oh, that's so good. Man, that's so good. God, you blessed me. I'm so smart. You know, you don't ever take credit for it. But then I heard an old message of Pastor Dave, and he'd teach it. I'm like, that's where I heard it. It's like Gary says, you get credit once, and then after that, it's ours. We have copyright rules here at the Prayer Center. If you're going to copy it right, you know. So you have a new nature when you ask Jesus in your heart. The new nature brought to life your inner man, but left your outward man in darkness. And that is the tug of war that you have once you're born again. Gary was talking about the fight of wills that Jesus had and the fight of wills that you might have. It's really a fight of desires. Like, where does the desire to sin, the desire to settle for second best, where does that come from in you once you're born again, a child of God? Well, thank God for Jesus being our example, that he himself had a fight of desires and had to choose whose will he was going to follow. So you're wearing an outward man that's left in darkness and an inner man that is born again. Let's start over here in chapter 3 of 2 Corinthians. We're just going to look at the Apostle Paul's teaching and use different books to help see the fullness of the picture he's trying to paint. Chapter 3, verse 18. But we all with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory, just as by the Spirit of the Lord. So you are being transformed into the same image. That word image is very important. Image is, anytime you see the word image in this context, the word image means your new nature. The new nature is the smallest part of you. You have a new nature. The new nature doesn't have a brain. It doesn't have ears. It's just a nature. The nature itself is the smallest part of you, but it's the most important part. Because if you have the nature of life in you, you go to heaven. If you have the nature of darkness in you and you die, you go to hell. So the nature is the most important. It's like, I would call it the power pack. It's what powers up the rest of your inner man. Every person born is born with an inner man and an outward man and a nature. You have these things. And then when you're born again, your nature comes to life, your inner man comes to life, but your outer man remains dark. A person who's not born again still has an inner man. The man who passed away, the rich man, and the poor man Lazarus, they both were in the afterlife. They had inner bodies in the afterlife. Their outward bodies were being buried. You right now have an inner man and an outward man. When you were born again, you received the image of Christ. When you see the word image, the way you look at it is like a seed. If you look at a seed, if I take four seeds, I don't know how many gardeners we have here, but if I take four seeds that look the same but are of different crops, right? I take four different, they look the same, but you don't know what's in it until it grows, right? The seed looks the same on the outside, but on the inside is an image which somehow I plant a carrot seed, and it takes the minerals out of the ground and runs those minerals through the image inside the seed and picks the orange, the stuff that makes it orange. I don't know what mineral that is that makes a carrot orange. Creatine, I guess it is, something for good for your eyes, right? But there's something in the orange seed that when you put it in the ground and water it, it knows to run the material through it to produce a carrot seed. When you take a carrot seed and put it in the ground, it knows to produce a carrot. It doesn't produce broccoli, it produces a carrot. Because there's an image in that seed that whatever you add to it, it will produce by the image inside of it, that's what it will produce. Same thing with a broccoli seed. I don't know much about these vegetables, but a broccoli seed, that's about the best I have for vegetables. But whatever seed you plant, whatever the image is inside that seed, if you give it the material, it will grow that exact image. If I take an orange seed and plant it, it will grow an orange tree because that's the image within the seed. Say amen if you're still with me. Well, you receive the new nature, which is like a seed. It's a tiny part of you. And in that seed, that new nature is an image of a complete Jesus in all of his holiness, in all of his love. That's the fullness of Christ that you have when you're born again. Again, say amen if you're still with me. So we are being transformed into the same image. So in other words, when you spend time given the right material, it runs through the seed, the new nature, and the image of Jesus comes forward. That's what grows inside of you. That's what grows is Jesus himself, not himself in person, but the same love of Jesus is in you. The same peace that Jesus had is in you. The same joy that Jesus had is in you. So much of the church tries to act like Jesus. So they have a love when they come to Christ. They have a joy that they brought over from the old world before they were saved. That's the outward man. They have a joy. They have a love. So they direct it to do good in Jesus' name. But it's not the same as the love of Jesus. You can actually hold the love of Jesus. Let's keep reading here. Chapter 4, verse 3. But even if our gospel is veiled, it's veiled to those who are perishing, whose minds the God of this age has blinded, who do not believe, lest the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine on them. So the light, whenever you see the word light, light is referring to the new nature. I love what Gary taught the other couple Sundays ago was inside of the Holy of Holies, and the inner court is a light. It's the only light inside of that Holy of Holies, inside of the inner court is a lamp. And that's referring to your new nature. That is your light. The new nature is the light of the inner man. The new nature is what lit you up. It's what made you righteous. When you see these words, righteousness, image, and light, it's almost always talking about your new nature. Righteousness, image, and light. The new nature is the seed inside of your inner man. See, before you were saved, and God wanted to love on you, I remember being not saved and hearing God's voice when I was a kid. I remember asking, I was a wandering kid, and I remember asking God questions. I believed in God, but didn't know about Jesus or any of that stuff. I wasn't raised in church. I was raised in the opposite of church. Didn't know about David and Goliath or any of that stuff. And I remember talking to the sky and God and hearing him talk to me. How many know that God sheds his love and kindness and all that he can to unbelievers to try to bring them into the kingdom? But what's different with you now that after you're saved than before you were saved? What's different from you now that you're born again from your neighbor who's not born again? What is the difference? I know people who are not saved that are a lot nicer than some Christians I know. They're kinder and more thoughtful, and they express more love than some Christians I know. After you've been in ministry for a while, you start to watch out for Christians. I wish I was an evangelist. I just work with unbelievers, and I'd be much better. All right, you're saved. Good. See you later. They got the fun job. Pastors have the hard job. So the difference is, when you ask Jesus into your heart, where does the love of Jesus now go? See, before you were saved, you could experience the love of Jesus. But now he's asking you to become the love of Jesus. The love of Jesus is something that's different than the love of a human. The love of a human is chemically based. You may not like to hear that. But, you know, how many have eaten a hamburger? I'm picking on the... Yeah, you know, you've eaten something, a meat product, a fish, a bird, a cow, a pig. I'll stop there, but you've eaten a meat product, okay? Do you know that meat had personality in it before? You don't know this, but cows have personalities. There's nice cows and mean cows. There's gentle cows and forceful cows. There's quiet cows and loud cows. Just ask a guy who raises cows. He'll tell you. His cows have different personalities. How many farm people understand what I'm talking about? Even chickens have different personalities. I got one lady, she's got chickens in her backyard. And she had two roosters. And she's like, I'm going to eat one of them. I'm like, what? Why? Well, because he's the mean one. He's mean. I got one, I walk in and he comes up and she's got pictures of him cuddling, and then she got scars from the other one, the attacker, and she's like, I'm eating that one. And There's a personality in that creature. But that creature, when you eat it, before you eat it, they have to kill it. You, like a cat, you don't even know it. They have to kill it. Well, Pastor Dave said it's like the light goes off. But see, that little animal that you know, it's a piece of meat. That's all it is. It's got a personality in it, but where does it get its personality from? It's from the chemicals of the natural man. The natural man has chemicals, emotions that are designed around chemicals. That's why when you start to run into God and your inner man starts to get stronger, the outward man starts to drag his feet and punish you. How many can testify this? I went into prayer and I was excited and then it got really bad. I just got sad and felt depressed and moody and defeated. And I was doing all the good things, but I still felt defeated. How many have gone through something like that? See, I can tell you what happened was your outward man, the outward body, was punishing you. If you're not going to do what I want you to do, if you're not going to live for my desires, then I'm going to release the chemicals of defeat and depression and envy and jealousy. You ever see someone, a little kid, when they don't get their way, throw a tantrum? And there they are throwing a tantrum, and it's not your kid. You love watching the show when it's not your kid. We all love watching when our kids do the performances up here and one kid acts out. That's our favorite kid. We all love that kid that sings louder, runs around, hits their sister or hits their brother or does something out of the ordinary, as long as it's not our kid. When it's your kid, you're like, whoa, no, shh, you could do it. You're so embarrassed. The rest of us are like, go, yeah, cause trouble. I like it. Well, your outward man will act spoiled like that kid. Not when you give it what it wants, but when you start to put it through the process of what we call mortification. You're saying to the personality of the outward body, you no longer are in charge. My life is no longer about serving you. Gary taught about that this morning. My life is not about serving you, your purpose, your desires, your wants, outward man. I now serve God with my inner man. Your job is to obey and follow. Okay, let me try to get back on track here. But even if our gospel is veiled, verse 3, chapter 4, is veiled to those who are perishing, whose minds the God of this age was blinded, who do not believe, lest the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, which is or who is the image of God, should shine on them. So unless they get born again and have a light, the light that shines is the new nature. The light that shines is the new nature. And the righteousness is the new nature. The image of Christ is within the new nature. Am I making sense? You can say good preaching. All right, good. For we do not preach ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your bondservant for Jesus' sake. For it is God who commanded light to shine out of darkness. This is the quickening of your new nature. You had a nature that was dark, and it quickened from darkness to light, from death to life, from sin to righteousness. When you stand before God on the old pearly gates, and he says, and you're wondering, maybe you're sweating a little bit, you know, I did exaggerate on my license. My weight was a little lower than it was actually, and you just listened to the First John series, you're like, oh Lord, am I going to make it? You stand before God and you're hiding your wallet so you can't see your license. What's your weight? You're just shaving a little, like 1 pound off is like, yeah, okay, I'll do that. This is, do you want my weight or my go-to weight, where I'm going? When you stand before God, the only thing he's going to look for, it's not your works of good works or not even your bad works. He's going to look if you have his nature inside of you. If you have the nature of righteousness, now we know you can lose that nature and give up that nature and lose your salvation. But if you have the nature of righteousness, you are going into heaven. Amen? That is what qualifies you for heaven, is that nature of righteousness. And if you're standing before God, You understand your outward man is laying in the dirt. So that tells you that your nature, and I won't go into all the scripture, but your nature is in your heart, your inner man. See, the nature is in the inner man. That's why when your body falls off of you, you go in your inner man with the nature, whatever nature you have. Even if your father is the devil, you will end up in the same place he does, in hell. That's where you're going to go. If your father is God, the nature in your inner man carries you to your father. For it is God who commanded light to shine out of darkness, who has shone in our hearts to give light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. Okay, I'm trying to focus on the nature and the inner man. Come down to verse 16. Therefore, we do not lose heart, even though our outward man is perishing, yet the inward man is being renewed day by day. So I want you to see here that the inward man and the outward man and the nature are three different parts of you. You have a nature, you have an inward man, and you have an outward man. And it's important you understand that you have these things. You are not your inward man. You have an inward man. That's why it could be quickened and changed. You have a new nature. You had an old nature of sin. Now you have a new nature of sin. That's why it could be changed, because it's not you. You have these things. You're all entwined together. You can't take it out of you, but it is you. You have a new nature. You have an inward body, and you have an outward body. You have these things. You are not these things. You have these things. Let's go over to Colossians. We're focusing on the word image, light, righteousness. Verse 9 of Colossians chapter 3. Let's see if I can get it on my King James. Colossians 3. We'll start in verse 9. Lie not one to another, seeing that you have put off the old man with his deeds. So where does the desire to lie come from? The old man. See, if you put off the old man with his deeds, you won't have a problem with lying. The desire to lie, the desire when you're standing there, even at the doctor's, and they say, well, thanks for coming for your checkup. We're going to put you on the weigh scale in a minute. Can you tell me what you weigh? Even then, there's a desire from somewhere to say, well, let's just shave off a few pounds. Even though you know they're going to catch you. Where does the desire to lie come from? The outward man. So I want you to see this. Verse 10, and have put on the new man. So now there is a putting on and a putting off. The new man. So the new man here, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him. So if we take just verse 10 here, and I'm going to go back while you hold that verse over to 2 Corinthians. And I'm just going to put these on top of each other. This is Paul writing to both these places. Verse 16, chapter 4 of 2 Corinthians, we read, therefore we do not lose heart, even though our outward man is perishing, yet the inward man is being renewed day by day. Where is the renewing taking place? In the inward man, okay? So the inward man is being renewed, the outward man is perishing. Now I'm going to go over to Colossians 3:10. It says, have put on the new man, which is renewed. So the new man is renewed in knowledge. Well, I've got to make sure I do the King James. I have put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him. So we can see here that there's an image inside of the new man. And when that image comes forth, it comes into the inward man. The new man is where the renewal takes place. the new man here is talking about the inward body. The image is talking about the new nature. You received a new nature. The image of Christ is already in you. If I were to zoom in and look at that seed, that image of Christ, I would find Jesus in all of his holiness, in all of his love, in all of his peace, all of his joy, the joy of Jesus is already in you, but it's in seed form, in image, inside of your new nature. The job of renewing is taking that image and causing it to grow and become fruit inside of my new man. Because the new man was created, here it says it was created. Let me get back over to Colossians. The new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him. So it's saying here the new man was created. I'm going to Ephesians now. Ephesians chapter 4. We're going to see the same language. Verse 22. That you put off concerning the former conduct the old man, which grows corrupt according to deceitful lusts. So you have an old man. The old man here is the outward body. How many know you still have an outward body? And where does the desire to lie come from? Where does the desire to lust come from? But it's not just those bad desires. The desire to chase money, as Gary talked about this morning. The desire for wealth. See, wealth, the love money, that comes from your outward man. That's why you can say you're not your struggles. Quit saying I am a liar. You can say I struggle with this, but I'm overcoming it and I have the right to overcome it because I am born again. I'm a child of God, but I'm wearing a body that desires things in my life, desires to direct me and wants me to serve it. But I'm to, the moment I'm born again, take that body and make it bow its knee to the righteousness, the new nature inside of me. It becomes a slave to my new nature instead of me being a slave to it. Someone asked me, they said, well, if you decide, is it willpower? If you decide to act a certain way, is that psychology? And I said, well, psychology does a great job, an honest job of describing why you're so messed up. Because what psychology does, it lines up all the people and say, you have this problem. I know 1,000 other people who act the exact same way because their past caused them to morph into something to protect itself. And it has the same, you ever notice that you run into people who have the same problem? And they walk the same, they talk the same, they act the same. I remember Pastor Bobby told us in Bible college, he said, Alan, every year you get a new crop of students. Let me just tell you, same devils, different faces. And he was right. It was like, after 10 years, you're like, I know you. I never met you, but I met a dozen people just like you because they've been through the past. And their natural man has morphed into a way of desires. And sometimes this desires to protect itself. So psychology does a good job of describing why you're so messed up. But you can never just fix it. The Bible doesn't tell us to take our outward man and direct it to serve God. It tells us to have a showdown with it and to mortify it. See, your outward man will be glad to go to church. If you give your outward man a choice, you're going to die. You can go to the prayer center and die and hear die. Or we can go to this other church and hear prosperity and wealth and success. Your outward man will go, I'll serve God at that church. And many churches, God bless them because they're preaching Jesus. And those people, as hungry as they are, that's as far as they'll ever want to go. So they need a pastor who will help them to get to heaven. So praise God for every work that preaches Jesus. We are not better than anyone. We have a specific calling, though, in the body that's important, that we can't do what they do and do what God's called us to do. Hope I said that right. Ephesians chapter 4. And you put off, verse 22, put off concerning former conduct the old man, which grows corrupt according to deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind. And that you put on the new man, and I love this, which was created. So the new man, I want you to see, just from these three verses even, we can put together that the new man is the inner man, the inner body. The new man, which was created according to God in true righteousness and holiness. So what happened when you were born again was you received a new nature. It was quickened. But that new nature also allowed you to have an inner body quickened as well. So now your inner man, the new man, can hold the things of God because it was created in righteousness and holiness like your new nature. The difference is your new nature has the full, complete Jesus, image of Jesus in it. Your new man, the inner man, is alive and lit up by righteousness, is as righteous as Jesus himself, but is empty. It doesn't have the love of God yet. It doesn't have the peace of God yet. It doesn't have the joy of God yet. You have to go get those things. Where? Well, you can go spend time with God. And what happens when I pray in tongues and I worship God is that's the material, if I can use imagery. It's like a seed. If I take a seed and it's got inside of it a orange tree. Okay, I look at it, you just see a little seed. But in it is a picture of a perfectly full, mature orange tree. Now, if I plant it in the ground and give it water and nutrients, it takes the water and nutrients and pulls it through the image and builds the image inside of it, right? Give it enough time, it will build a full-grown, mature orange tree. Well, that's what happens when, I believe, when you pray in tongues, when you worship, when you read the Word and confess the Word of God, is that's the material that runs through your new nature, and it will begin to build in your inner man, because now your inner man can hold those things from God. Before you were saved, your inner man could not hold the knowledge of God, the love of God, the hope of God, the joy of God. Most of the church world has been taught how to get their outward man to accept the joy of God, the peace of God. I just need you to pray for me for peace. I'm going through a hard time. And okay, peace, peace. And we put our hope in the Word and our trust in the Word. That is faith. That's the beginning. If you stay there, you're not going to, the devil can defeat you. That's why willpower will only get you so far. You think you're strong, you can hold 1,000 pounds. Devil will just come with 10,000 pounds. He's not afraid of your strength. He's not afraid of your love. He's not afraid of your hope or your joy or your peace. That's why he's not stopping us from going out and telling the world, I love you in Jesus' name. Because he's not afraid of that. He can stop your love anytime he wants to. You don't think he can? He can. You're not strong enough. But there is a love that's strong enough. There is a joy. There is a peace that surpasses all understanding, where you're standing in the midst of a storm, asleep. Well, the storm's raging on because there's a peace in you that's greater than anything outside. And that peace is available to you, but it doesn't come automatically. The same way the knowledge of God doesn't come automatically. When you came and accepted Jesus, how many of you could quote Isaiah right after you got saved? Praise God, I got saved, and ask me a Bible verse. I'll quote it back to you because I got it all. No, you have to go get the knowledge of God. And that you put on the new man, which was created according to God in true righteousness and holiness. Let's go over to chapter 5. So in chapter 4, he's talking about the inward body. The inward body is a blank slate. That's why Peter says you are a newborn babe. That's why it says you have to treat you like a child. If you don't build up the new man, you can't mortify the outward man. The new nature brought to life your inner man. Chapter 5, verse 8. This is talking about the new nature. For you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. For this, the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness, righteousness, and truth. So here the word Spirit is talking about your new nature. The fruit of that new nature inside of your inner man is that the fruit will come forward. Where does that love of Jesus go when it grows? Where does it go? Where does it live? It lives in your inner man. Not your outward man, because your outward man can never understand God, can never hold the love of God. Too many of us, I got to be careful, because I talked about the two trees of serving God. There's a tree of carnal Christians, and I'm careful with that, because it's not like sinning Christians. It's Christians only training their outward man to serve God. That's where most of us started. Well, all of us probably started there. But when we begin to pray in tongues, something begin to build in us that begin to conflict with something that was outside of us, in our outward man. That's why when you have a revelation, that's a miracle. A revelation isn't just God telling you something, because he would have told you before you were saved. A revelation is you praying in the Holy Ghost, you meditating the Word in your inner man, building the truth of God inside of it in the spiritual mind. And that inner man confronts a almost truth in your outward man. How many have had something where God changed the way you think? But see, that was a miracle. That wasn't just, I used to like onions, or I didn't like onions, now I like onions. It wasn't a decision. What happened was you built up spiritual truth on the inside. That's a miracle, that you thought like God. And that truth crept up, built up until finally it reached over to your natural mind and said, that's not good enough. And you said, I agree. I'm choosing to believe what my inner man says, what God taught my inner man. And that is a mortification. A revelation is actually a mortification of a natural thought by a spiritual thought. I used to laugh at the services where the preacher would say, you need to have the joy of the Lord. You need to have the joy of the Lord. God loves a cheerful giver. So how many would like to be blessed with a new house? And I kind of pick on that, but I heard a lot of that. And see, I'm trying to motivate you by building up a hope in your outward emotions, where the chemicals will be released to make you feel like there's something's going to change. And if I can just get you excited or make you cry or make you laugh during a service, I have succeeded. And all it is a natural outward man emotions. I can build up your natural hope and get your emotions to where peace come forward. Oh, yes, it's going to be okay. But if nothing changes, it was just a fake emotional experience. I have given many times in the past under a fake emotional hope. Oh, this is going to get me my new car. This is going to get me my $1 million. I went up and one time the guy preached me out of $1,000 and I didn't have $1,000. But I promised $1,000 and I had to give because I was excited about getting the promise of $1,000, what it would bring to me. For you were once in darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness, righteousness, and truth. I'm going to give you one more verse here. I'm going to go to 2 Timothy chapter 2. If I take a man, they come to my service and I preach him to salvation. One man's a doctor. He's in his early 50s. He's healthy. He's got all of his hair. He's wealthy. They drive a nice car. His wife is sitting there with his three kids. Perfect. Perfect family. Got, a dog and a cat and everything's great. They're wealthy. They're healthy. They're not in debt. And then another guy, one of you brings in a homeless guy off the street and promise him lunch. He's 50 and he's sitting over here and he has got nothing. His own family won't even talk to him anymore. He's got no money. He smells. He's a drunkard, unhealthy. And both of them are in my service. Do you understand that neither of them are saved? That means everything they've attained in their life, good and bad, is from the natural world, from the world of death and darkness. All the joy, all the wisdom, all the ability to have a healthy family and prosperity came from the natural world. The devil's not afraid of that. He'll let you run your whole life and give to God and serve God. But if you start bringing the attributes of God into your life, that's what he's afraid of. Not your love, but the love of Christ in you. So I take these two men and they come to the altar because I preach so good and they get born again for the first time. That's the first moment both of them tasted light, tasted life, tasted love for the first time in their 50-some years. Everything else they tasted was from the world of darkness, from the natural carnal world. So does both of them being born again, do you know that each of their nature will tell them the same thing? It won't tell the one guy, the conviction won't say, you can do this, and tell the other guy, you can't do that. Because we have the same nature, it will tell us how to be a child of God. It's positive, it's not negative. It tells you how to be a child of God. And when you do something that is against what a child of God does, you will feel that like, that's, what's that? That's not right. That's not how we act. It's a rejection of living carnally. So if you hear instructions that are different, I know one man was told, I need you to stop drinking coffee. But God could tell you not to drink coffee and tell you not to listen to certain music and tell you not to go to certain shows and tell you not to do certain things, tell you not to have one food, but tell me that's okay. Right? That's the Holy Spirit giving you personal instructions. But if it is from the nature, a conviction, it will always be the same for all of us. Because our nature is all Christ, the image of Christ in it. My nature will not allow me to be unholy and convict you for holiness. That's why we can say, yeah, I got born again, but I never felt bad about living with my girlfriend. Like, nah, we know, because I have the same nature that you do. The conviction will be the same. So the job of a Christian, both these men get born again. Does this man who is strong, healthy, wealthy, everything is successful, have any advantage in the kingdom of God than the poor man, the drunkard? They both got born again. Now listen. They both got born again. They both received a new nature, which means their nature went from darkness to light. Their inner man, both got also quickened, created in righteousness and holiness. So now they both have a nature that is complete, a seed with the image of Christ in it, and an inward man that can hold the love, the joy, the peace, and knowledge of God, the very love, joy, peace, and knowledge of God that image is. But they both are empty. They must fill it up. It must grow as fruit come forward. Does the wealthy man, the educated man, the healthy man have advantage in the kingdom over the poor man? Does God say, listen, I'm going to give you, you get 10 steps ahead, you got to take 10 steps back. Go. You know, he doesn't do that. Because both of you receive the same quality of new nature and the same inner body with ability, not the same quality, with ability to hold the things of God. That's why the renewing process is taking knowledge from God through the image of Christ in us, and it is deposited in your inner man. Taking the love of God, bringing it forward through the image of Christ in you, it grows forward in your inner man. It must grow there first before you can mortify it on the outward man. 2 Timothy chapter 2. I'll just start in verse 5. And also, if anyone competes in athletics, he's not crowned unless he competes according to the rules. So there's rules that you have to compete by. There's no cheating. There's one lady ran a marathon, and she won the marathon at her age, and they were shocked because they never heard of her. Well, they looked back and found on cameras in New York how she had gotten off the race and got onto a subway, took it ahead, and then jumped back in the race and won her division. And they caught her and they disqualified her. Unfortunately, there's no shortcuts for you. You got to do the same process that I have to, because we got the same nature. We have the same quality inner man and the same job to take Christ and have him grow inside of us, his love, his joy. And with that, we can touch the world. It doesn't matter your calling. Our jobs may be different, but our life is the same. Holiness and love of Christ. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 5. And also, if anyone competes in athletics, he's not crowned unless he competes according to the rules. In verse 6, the hard-working farmer must be first to partake of the crops. Is that what your Bible says? Getting out my old King James here, making sure. We're talking the same language here. The husbandman that laboreth must be first partaker of the fruits. New King James says the hard-working farmer must be first to partake of the crops. So the husbandman that laboreth must be first partaker of the fruits. You go to some parts of the country, they have soil that allows for special corn. Like, they have different names, peaches and cream, tasty corn, sweet corn. And certain parts of the country have better soil to make better corn. So you go to a farmer. And the New King James says the hardworking farmer, the husbandry, the husbandman that laboreth, so the working farmer. You go to a hardworking farmer, a husbandman that laboreth, a working farmer, and you go during the right season, he'll have a stand where you can buy corn fresh. Every Saturday, I look on Facebook and there's Angie out at shopping and buying stuff at the fresh farmer's market. And dragging someone with her all the time. So you go to this place and they sell you, the hardworking farmer says, I have a bunch of corn. It's the best corn you're ever going to taste. And it is for sale for me to give to you. See, he must first be able to eat it before he can sell it to you. Down the road, I'll get to prove this to you. But what he's talking about here is the love of God. That a hard-working farmer must first get the fruit, the crop. What if you went to a cart that said, corn, best in the world. I'm ready. And you go in there, there's the guy, he's in his overalls, but they're not dirty, they're clean. Because he's not a hard-working farmer. He's not the laboring kind. He's the lazy farmer, the non-laboring, the husbandman that laboreth not, he's the one that didn't get out and plant the seed. He's the one that didn't get out and spray for the bugs. He's the one that didn't get out and harvest it. So you go to him, he's still there. He's still a farmer, but he's a lazy type. And he says, I'm a corn farmer. This is the best country, best soil in the country to get peaches and cream. Okay, I want to buy some peaches and cream. Okay, I need your money, please. Where's the corn? Oh, I don't have any corn because I didn't grow any. But I'm going to sell it to you, the stuff I don't have. Because I am a farmer. I'm a corn farmer. See, this is what I think the church has fallen into, where we are selling our own love. We are preachers, but we don't have the fruit of the love of God. And we're asking people to buy it anyway. Most of you would be like, I'm going to find the farmer down the road who's got real corn. The process of renewing, the part of growing spiritually, is not just like, I brought up a little child, an 11-year-old girl, and then a 4-year-old boy during conference, and I said, look at that 4-year-old boy can hear me and obey me. See, that tells you the moment you're saved, you can start trying to hear God and obey him. You don't have to wait till you mature to hear and obey. But what he will tell you to do will be determined by your maturity. And so many believers are begging God to use them, but he won't, because he won't destroy them. They're not mature enough yet. They haven't renewed their inner man with enough of the image of Christ growing inside of them yet. But God, I want to go win the world. I should be able to do it now. And so when God doesn't give them instructions to do it, they quit waiting and they go and do it in the name of God. And because they don't have enough of Jesus in them, enough of his love, enough of his peace, they go in their own love, their own peace, their natural love. Devil's not afraid of your natural love. He's not afraid of your natural peace, because he knows if he ever wants to crush you, he just needs to put a perfect amount of weight. You can lift 1,000 pounds, he'll put 1,001 and watch you squish. And here you thought you were strong. He's the master of destruction. But there is a love, a joy, a peace, a knowledge of God that can be built inside of your inner man that he cannot stop. And that's what he's afraid of. That's why you are going through so much trouble. I love what Pastor Bronk said. He said, he called Pastor Dave and said, I'm just having all this hell break loose and the devil's coming against me. And Pastor Dave said, no, Bronk, the devil's not coming against you. You're coming against him. And now he's trying to stop you. This is your fight. You picked it by praying and worshiping. You say, little me, little old me, I'm nobody. I'm just a drunk off the street. I have nothing to offer. If you are a hardworking farmer, and you take the time to give the material to go through the image of Christ in your new nature, it will come into your inner man and it will last with you for eternity. The very love of Jesus can grow inside of you. But it won't happen if you don't give it the material it needs. And once that love grows, the very knowledge of God, you can think like God, truth. And many people, you ask every preacher, they say, I only preach the Word of God. The Word of God is truth. But the problem is we're all preaching differently out of the same Word. It's not the words on the page as much as the truth that the words are saying. And that can only be understood by your inner man. Your outer man will try to understand it, and it will make some gobbledygooky way of describing faith and hope and joy. The preachers who used to take up offerings, you know, God loves a cheerful giver. So you want to get blessed? I want you to write your biggest check right now. But when you come up to give it, it's got to be so big that you're going to cry. But you're going to show God you have faith by being joyful. And I want you, we're not going to hand out the buckets like those other people. I'm going to have the buckets up here. And I want you to march up here in joy and celebration and give your offering in the joy of the Lord so God can bless your offering. And I've watched people over the years write their check. I mean, poor people. I'm trying not to go into stories because I just go on and on and I don't want to be mean. And they come up and they're crying. They're sad because they're given more than they believe they can believe. But they were just told that's the lack of faith. If you can't give it, you can't believe it. So just give beyond. If you hear a number, times it by two. Some of you are going, yeah, I've been in some of those services. And people come walking up and they're crying and they're laughing at the same time because they're so afraid to give that offering. You know, they're trying to fake the joy of the Lord. They're trying to be the joy of the Lord, but they don't have the joy of the Lord. Because if it was the joy of the Lord, it would overwhelm you. You'd be the only one laughing. Your spouse would be crying, but you'd be laughing. Because no, God told us. The peace of God. The devil cannot stop the peace of God. So what he does is he stops you from going to get the peace of God, and he gets you distracted to give your own peace. Live your whole life giving God credit, but it's your own peace. Many churches today, we can take the wealthy man that came up to get saved. Say, sir, you walk in prosperity. You have a healthy family. Your body's healthy. You're not in debt. You're everything the Word promises to us. Will you please teach us how we can have the same thing. Here, take the mic, please, and I'll let you. The poor guy, the drunkard, all right, let someone take him for lunch and bless this poor soul. You, sir, will you teach us? Both of them started the kingdom at the same time. Neither of them can add to the kingdom of God. They both start at the same place. The only advantage the healthy, wealthy, strong doctor has over the drunkard is he may have a discipline to spend time doing spiritual things like praying and worshiping, where the drunkard may not have developed a discipline to do those things. But they both start at the same place. No advantage. You can have all of God. Let's be hardworking farmers. Let's not be lazy farmers and try to sell something we don't have. Amen. Well, I'm going to quit there. Let's pray for God to continue to give us courage and strength to keep building up the inner man. Every time you pray, here's what happens. When you pray in tongues, the Holy Spirit gives your inner man the tongue, and your spirit man prays. See, not your new nature, your spirit man prays from the mind of the Spirit. You pray that tongue out of your natural mouth, and that your natural man doesn't understand what was said, but your inner man captured it. And you may not know what was said, but your inner man kept it. That's a knowledge from God. One day, the inner man will be built up enough in that knowledge to tell you, to get you to understand. It passes that knowledge over. It starts a fight where you thought something about yourself. Maybe you think you're not worth something. Maybe you think you're not worth it. That other people are more valuable than you. Where does that lack of worth come from? Where does that voice that says you're not good enough? Maybe it's because of your race or your gender or your upbringing, or maybe it's because of your family condition. Maybe something happened to you. Whatever. Whatever is telling you you're not worth it, where is that voice coming from? Because you're born again. You have a new nature, and your inner man is fully created new in righteousness. That voice is in your outward man, the same place the desire to lie comes from. And once you know that, you can begin to resist it and say, that's not me. Now, it's not going to shut up because you tell it to. It won't. You can't believe away your flesh. You can't ignore your flesh. You must mortify your flesh. So you pray in tongues, and while you're praying, you still feel that inferior, you feel unworthy, while you know the word is true, so you tell that desire, that lie, that emotion, shut up. I'm not bowing down to you because the word of God says, this is who I am. But where is that voice coming from? The same place the desire to lie comes from, your outward man. Well, unfortunately, God did not fix your outward man. He left it to death. He will replace it one day. But until then, your job is to mortify it. And while you're mortifying it, you grab it by the throat and you make it bow its knee to the new nature of righteousness. So you say, unworthiness, that's not who I am anymore. Shut up. Shut up. Okay. Next morning, unworthy. 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 Shut up. I don't agree. The Word of God says I'm above and not beneath, and you do your confessions. Confessions line you up with the Word of God against the lie of your outward man. You pray in tongues, the image of love builds inside of you. The truth and knowledge of God builds inside of your inner man. Eventually what will happen was you'll hear a fight that says, you're not unworthy. That's a lie. And see, now you're not just fighting with the word, you're fighting with the word in you. And now, so you start with agreeing with the word, but you finish mortification by becoming the word. And once that word of truth builds in you, then all of a sudden there's a fight. Wait a minute, that's a lie. Someone actually told me, they said, I got a message, a prayer, and I used to be holy, but the message of the prayer center to pray and worship God exposed me to like all kinds of sin. And I said, well, you mean the light came on and you saw what was in you? You know? That's the old Pastor Dave joke, right? Blaming the light for all the cockroaches that are there. Well, the cockroaches that are there are in your outward man. You don't want to live your life hiding them. petting them, making them feel safe. You want to get to the place to where you can mortify them. But you can't mortify them by deciding, I'm done with you. You have to build up the inner man first. And once that knowledge is built up, it will confront it for you. And then you have a fight and you go, yeah, that's right. I'm choosing to go with the desire of my inner man instead of the desire of my outward man. And it's not just a choice today. Today I'm killing you. See, that is the process of growing spiritually. That's the process of growing spiritually. That's why we pray. When you pray and worship, confess the word. I didn't know any of this. I just knew what Pastor Dave taught. And I'm learning more as I go. Wow, every time I go, I want to go off into spectacular teaching. Amazing messages. And we always come back to the same basic principles. Pray, worship, fast, confess, read the word, meditate the word. Come on. Can't you activate the anointing on me? Call me a prophet. Call me an evangelist. Let me go. God won't do it to you because you're not mature enough yet. But God, I'm ready. I'm ready. I'm smarter. No, you're not. That's why waiting on God is such an important principle in our standards. Wait till God tells you to go, or you're going to go on your own. You'll be the farmer out there selling product you don't have. So we're going to pray today that God continues to give you strength, but especially for those who are unworthy. That wasn't by accident that came up. Those who are feeling unworthy. What that means to me is there's a grace here today to bring courage to you, to help wash that dirt of unworthiness off of you, to give you a fighting chance to go. Don't waste it by saying, yeah, I'm free, and then don't do anything. Go pray. Build up that inner man. Build it up with the knowledge of God, so then you have a fighting chance against that lie that says you're unworthy. Father, we thank you for your strength, your grace, your hope, that it can be part of our life. Your wisdom, your knowledge, your love can actually be who I am. Thank you for giving me the courage, the strength to every day be like that good, hardworking farmer and invest into my spiritual man, that my new man will grow strong, that I can eventually put him over the outward man. That's who I really am. Thank you for trusting me and us with this path, and thank you for your grace to walk this out every day, more and more of you, less of us. We thank you for it, Father. And Father, for those who fight with unworthiness when they approach you, fight with unworthiness when they approach people, that struggle with it with their own mind, their own thoughts, that today you're adding your strength and your grace to them, and you're saying you're not unworthy. You're worth it all. I paid the price for you because I believe in you. I love you. So, Father, may you touch them now with your grace. We break that lie off of them, and by your grace, they don't leave here the same. They don't leave here the same. In Jesus' name, Father, we give you all the glory and praise. Thank you, Father. Let's just take a minute and let's just worship him just from our heart. You have a Father that believes in you and loves you. You're only here because he believes you can do this. Father, I love you. I worship you. I magnify you and glorify you. You're worthy. Thank you. Thank you for believing in us. We love you. We love you. I worship you. I glorify you and magnify you. I love you. And Father, as we leave today, I thank you that no one leaves here alone. You are with each of us every step of our life. You'll never leave us nor forsake us. In Jesus' name, amen. Hallelujah. Boy, the presence got sweet there.